and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
This is My Alchemical Bromance, and this is a very special episode. Matt, Joey, and I, I'm Eric, we went on a backpacking trip recently into the Olympic Peninsula and the Olympic rainforest, and we camped on the Ho River. We took the recorder with us, and one of the nights we built a campfire, sat around the campfire, and just talked about all kinds of stuff. It was a really, really pleasant and relaxing trip, and I'm really glad that we get to share the experience with you. The second part of the episode, we talked about going to Third Beach and having our celebration of the Feast of St. John the Baptist at Third Beach, but the weather turned gnarly, like extra gnarly. So we put that plan on hold and instead decided to camp at a private campground run by some friends of Matt's. And there we sat out the rain, didn't do any recording, but I did put a little bit of bonus material in the next day. So stay tuned afterwards, and you'll get to hear me talk about Proteus and some Orphic hymns and that sort of thing. In the meantime, you know, sit back and relax, enjoy our camp trip with us, listen to the soothing sounds of the Ho River and the crackle of the campfire, and Joey falling over multiple times as his makeshift bench falls apart.
All right, this is night two of the Ho River. Say hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Say hi, Joey.
Hi, Joey.
It's night two of MabCon 3.5.
I don't know if we need to call this MabCon anything. I think we should just call this, like, holy crap, we managed to get everybody in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
But we're doing it while backpacking.
In a different place. Completely different place. We've never been before.
Yeah.
You know how we did it? Magic.
Magic. Can you tell us where we are? We know.
We're in the Ho Rainforest in the Olympic Peninsula in the state of Washington. This is in the Olympic National Forest. This is, I think it's the only temperate rainforest in the U.S.
I think that's one. I read it on the internet, so it's true.
It's tons of awesome old growth trees, giant trees, also covered in really cool lichens. And whenever it's rainy and the sun comes out and the lichen's wet, the whole forest glows and glistens. Like a vampire.
Isn't there old growth rainforest? I would put that one.
That's okay, I got this. Okay,
just try it. Isn't there old growth rainforest in Oregon?
Nope.
Oh. This is going to be hilarious. That is not going to work, Joey.
Shut your mouth.
The town of Forks, which has the highest amount of precipitation anywhere in the U.S.
And that's Forks is where Twilight is from.
Yes.
So you've been up here before, a little bit.
I haven't backpacked, and I haven't even actually hiked the Ho River Trail, which is what we're off of. But I have been to the Ho Rainforest a lot.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time before we moved up here. Our friends live in Forks, or just outside of Forks.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part of Washington that made us fall in love with it when we moved up here.
How do you want to put money on how long it's going to take before Joey falls off that?
8 minutes.
Just a delicate balance.
Which is what you're known for.
It is. I'm quite nimble. Like a cat.
Yeah.
It's because I'm Native American.
Yeah, yeah. You're about as nimble as like a three-legged cat with one eye.
Oh yeah.
Get a good core workout while you sit there. Find your balance.
I think this old piece of driftwood is going to break soon.
So Joey, I want to ask you some questions about your book. You're reading Waking Up by Sam Harris.
Yep.
And we listened to one of his episodes on the way up here. and he was talking to a hallucinogen guy.
Michael Pollan.
Michael Pollan. His name's Pollan.
Mm-hmm. Cool. He's never been known for hallucinogens. He's like a...
He is now.
He's a reporter and author. Like, he's most famous for exposing factory farming and the food industry and how horrible it is. That's okay. Where he got his thing. So he's a pretty well-respected writer, and so he was really taking a risk by writing this book on.
So the... They used a term in the episode that was it default mode network?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm gonna do a horrible job of explaining it, but it's the part of your brain that kind of gives you a sense of self, a sense of ego. It's uh-huh. the one that makes you self-analyze. It's also the part that gives anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So if you're heavily involved in a task or a flow state, or you're just working really hard, that kind of ramps down
uh-huh.
or goes away. That part of the brain does.
So it like, oh, so it's sort of like if you're concentrating on something or working on something, you get into that kind of
yeah.
It's like flow in your default mode network.
Yeah, because if you're in an fMRI and they're watching that part of your brain, uh-huh. that part kind of shuts down.
Oh. Does Sam Harris talk about that a lot?
Is that
like a thing that he's...
Not that I know of.
Oh. It just seemed like something that they were both really into.
Well, he's a neurologist, so... Or a neuroscientist.
Sam Harris?
Uh-huh.
Oh. I guess I really don't know anything about him. I've listened to a couple episodes of his podcast. And that one we heard was really cool, but I don't know anything else about him.
Yeah, he's a... neuroscientist who is also, he was labeled one of the four horsemen of the, what do they call it? The,
Neurocalypse?
No, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Like, he is, him, Dawkins, and
Peterson?
Two dudes. No, Peterson's not in that group at all.
Who's Peterson?
Jordan Peterson. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson is not.
Sam Harris does not get along with... Well, I mean, he gets along. They're civil with each other, but he's not a... They're not a... Yeah, they don't see eye to eye.
That's
the apocalypse thing.
Well, because they're, like, the four most prominent atheists.
Oh, okay.
But Harris is different in that group because...
Hutchins? Would Hutchins be one of them?
Yeah.
Hitchens?
Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
I can't remember the other guy. Krauss. Lawrence Krauss. I think he's the other guy.
I've heard of him, I think.
Physicist.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
But Harris differs between those guys because he... he's been in meditation for a long time. Like, heavy mm-hmm. meditator. He used to go on, like... I think he did, like, a one-year retreat one time. Like,
jeez.
He was really into it. But mm-hmm. he never bought into any of the woo aspects of it. What he considers woo.
Yeah.
And he also had a lot of powerful psychedelic experiences, especially when he was in India. And so he was able to walk away with an understanding of spirituality divorced from religion and dogma that still fit within a materialist point of view.
Huh.
He still sees benefit to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because spirituality doesn't have to involve believing in
spirit.
Yeah. Well, no, believing in things that can't be...
Believing in magic and...
Yeah.
Things that can't be touched?
Well,
things
well,
that can't
that,
be...
But...
He thinks that it can all be proven materialistically.
Yeah.
So, I was also...
Plus also, like, the idea of, like, becoming enlightened and... So, like, one of the things he was just talking about... I'm only, like, 60 pages into that book, but he's talking about, like... Okay, so Buddha was enlightened. Does that mean he, like... could at that point in time shouldn't he also be able to be like the most sophisticated scientist and mathematician and everything else if he knows all and he's completely enlightened and all of that, like
I don't know, is that what enlightened means?
I don't know if you listen to like the followers and some of the religious dogma around it, like these religious figures have they're almost like godlike qualities.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have godlike qualities, shouldn't you be have access to that information?
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know. That's a good question. What is that?
It's the bear line.
Oh, right. Yeah, so this is my first time up here. And I've never seen bear lines before.
Oh.
Like, maybe you guys have more bears up here?
We do. We have a ton.
I mean, there are bears in Oregon. But...
They're, the Nalipa Peninsula has just black bears. And quite a few.
I heard that there are, like, 250,000 of them. Or something like that.
I know there's a good number. But, in Washington, we actually have grizzlies in the northern part of the Cascades, too.
Yeah, Joey and I were looking it up on the way up here, and it said that it was estimated there were 10.
Yeah.
10 grizzly bears.
but they're
which,
there.
Yeah, which they probably aren't going to be here. But we saw a coyote.
Yeah, and a buck.
Yeah, and deer.
A couple of deer.
Yeah.
A duck. A very cool duck.
Yeah, we're going to have to identify that duck. You got pictures of it, right?
I did.
So this duck hung out. Like, we're camped right on the river. Hopefully you guys can hear it in the background. This place is gorgeous. Like,
it's a magical land.
Yeah, we are, all three of our tents are right on the river. We've got our campfire right here on the river. We ate dinner here and had coffee on the river. It was pretty fucking awesome. But, yeah, the duck just, like, hung out for a while, and it was diving and hunting, and then it was doing this weird, like, splashy dance and flicking its wings all over the place and preening. maybe it was trying to attract a mate. Maybe it thought we smelled like ducks.
Maybe. It's a good possibility.
I might have picked up that I was from Oregon.
It's the hat.
It's the hat.
The hat keeps getting a lot of attention for you.
From, like, really, really old park ranger ladies.
This is your first time in this part of Washington, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was it was funny, I was talking to another friend of mine who's an Oregonian who's been like an outdoorsy person all their life, and I was like, you know, I've been backpacking every year since I was 6 years old pretty much, and never outside of Oregon. Like, every single trip had been in Oregon, except that this is not only the first backpacking trip I've taken without my dad. Or wait, maybe it's the second. Well, anyhow, pretty much the first. It's also the first backpacking trip that I've taken outside of Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah.
And not in desert.
Well, I've done backpacking in the Cascades and all that kind of stuff, but most of the time we do the desert now. Ever since probably the late 90s, because we've been working on the Oregon High Desert Trail and just kind of exploring central and eastern Oregon. There's a lot of desert out there, and that stuff is really brutal. Like, this was a very nice backpacking trip.
It was more of a walk. It wasn't really a hike.
It was a hike. It was 5 miles. It was a hike.
It was a walk.
It was a hike. There's some uphill parts. There's some wet parts and some dry parts.
It was a walk.
We saw a black slug.
Yeah, totally made it into a hike. And we saw deer.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of elk shit and maybe some bear shit.
Oh, you saw bear shit?
I don't know. It's hard to see. It's hard to say.
Might have been. Yeah. Might have been coyote shit.
Might have been people shit.
It could have been.
It's very gravelly looking with a lot of seeds.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It wasn't bear shit, I guess. It must have been coyote. It looked like a dog turd. So, the materialism thing, what does that mean to you guys? Like, it's come up in conversations a few fleeting times this weekend. I'm just wondering, like, when you think about it, what does it really mean?
The word materialism?
Yeah, or like when we're talking about, you know, the Sam Harris stuff.
Your belief system is grounded in objective reality.
Like empirical science sort of stuff. Yeah, I think that kind of jives with how I understand it too.
I concur. It's all bullshit anyway, so.
Materialism. Materialism is bullshit.
Materialism, maybe not.
I don't know. I think materialism is all bullshit. Or at least partially bullshit. I mean, I think that there's a lot to it, but...
There's a lot of bullshit mixed into everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. Take the good and leave the bad.
How do you tell which is which?
Just have to make up your own mind on that one.
Joey, that's non-materialist right there.
Right.
See what I think? But like with Harris...
Yeah.
There's a perspective of materialism. This is where the spirituality thing comes in, whereas... He's had these profound psychedelic experiences, so he's seen this other thing, this other reality. But he's fine with believing that it's all just in the head. It doesn't take away from the profundity of the experience, but that it can still be explained neurologically, that it is still local. But he doesn't, at the same time, he's also clear open to the idea that, hey, you know, at some point in the future, we may find that, you know, this isn't in the head, but there's nothing saying it is right now, and anything that we can't explain right now doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't exist, like if there are other realms or something. It's just that there's nothing that can prove it right now, and then eventually maybe science will show that there are these other things.
So in that case he's not a dogmatic materialist.
Right.
He's sort of saying like, this is what we can actually show, this is what we can actually prove. And something else might be out there, but...
In the meantime, don't delude yourself trying to impose something that you can't actually prove.
Right.
Because delusion can lead to some pretty terrible things.
It can lead to being Christopher Hitchens.
Demon magic.
I like demon magic.
Well, I think we were telling you about it. Matt and I were watching some YouTube videos before we drove out about... this guy that was exposing, like, sleight of hand and illusionists, like Chris Angel, David Blaine, you know, that type of sleight of hand magician, for actually being high-level black magicians that were using demon magic.
They said...
demon magic.
They got their powers through occult magic and making deals with demons. Basically, grimoire magic.
No.
I don't remember the magician.
He didn't use those terms, but that's more or less what he was pointing towards.
I don't know the magician they were talking about in the first episode, but they were like, the narrative was, you know, I knew him, you know, he was trying to get his career off and everything, and then he went and spent like a week out in the woods, you know, and then he came back and all of a sudden he's super famous and career takes off like crazy. Demon magic.
Demon magic.
He made a deal with the devil. I know that's not true because I tried to do that for... several years in the woods in Logan County.
But look what happened. Now you're in...
It's because Logan County's so terrible, the devil himself would have drove.
Yeah, I guess so. I was in the wrong place.
I don't know. I mean, you ended up back in Oregon.
No, that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, well, maybe it took a little while.
Yeah.
Maybe there's so many people doing devil magic in Logan County.
There's a queue.
There's just a really long queue.
Now serving...
So, Joey, you want to tell everybody what we're drinking tonight?
We're drinking... I'm drinking water with some delightful chemicals squirted in it that makes it taste like lemonade. Pink lemonade.
How about you, Matt? What are you drinking tonight?
Just straight water from the river. It's been filtered.
Yeah, me too. But straight filtered river water. Be cool if we had whiskey.
The water is... the source of the Ho River, or one of the sources, is Blue Glacier, which is on Mount Olympus, which... Probably wrong, but I think it's the tallest mountain in the Olympics.
Rainier's not in the Olympics?
No, it's in the Cascades.
Oh, right. Because the Olympics are just on the Olympic Peninsula.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So the water has this really cool blue-green tinge, and it's from the effluents from the glacier. So it's super silty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed my little filter's already slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Nice minerally.
Tastes delicious, though.
It does.
It doesn't taste minerally. Not after it's been filtered.
Perfect clear sky, too.
Gonna see some stars later.
Oh, yeah.
But we are on the Olympic Peninsula on the coast, so just as the last light disappears, we'll probably get drenched in rain. We are in a rainforest.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, we can see the sun is almost down. Like, that's the last line of sunlight up there. On those hills across the river from us. And we've got a campfire.
But it's terrible. It's horrible here, and you shouldn't come visit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like, you know.
And with that, I think my transformation is complete.
Yeah. There you go.
Northwesterner.
Well, it started when Matt started wearing hiking boots all the time.
He was like, bought a Subaru Outback.
He bought a Subaru. Grew a beard, shaved your head.
Yeah. I'm a cliche.
Oh, it's okay. You know, it started before you even came out here.
You're
to see
You're a cliche
it, right?
In Oklahoma, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you're just shedding one cliche and donning another. It's like a cloak of many cliches.
You really like to blend in with the locals.
Yeah.
You're a chameleon.
But I mean, your beer thing started in Oklahoma, and that's totally an Oregon cliche.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what are you finding anything different between this part of Washington versus Oregon?
I mean, a lot of it's really similar. You know, the trees are similar. The wildlife is similar. It feels really similar.
Except cooler.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Oregon stuff that I'm used to is out in the desert, and I wouldn't say that it's more moderate here. Like, mm-hmm. The temperature doesn't change as much.
Yeah, because like, even in the, like, dead of winter or dead mm-hmm. of summer, middle of summer, our temperatures are nowhere as extreme as, like, Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't go backpacking in Portland. That's, I have an apartment. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, out in the, like, in the Cascades and stuff, you know, you'll get a wider range of temperature. I didn't really believe you when you told me what the temperature was going to be.
Told me what?
When you told me what the temperature is going to be, I didn't believe you. Matt was like, oh yeah, it's going to be like a high of 70 and a low of 60. I'm like, fuck that shit.
It's amazing up
That's
here.
It's not real. But yeah, I mean, it's really comfortable at night. My sleeping bag, which is probably 10, 15 years old, maybe less than that, is rated to 20 degrees. And I was super comfortable last night. I probably would have been too warm. I don't know. I felt good.
Yeah, it was really comfortable.
Yeah, it was great. Like, I had my sleeping bag unzipped for half a night.
Mm-hmm.
I was
dreamt of a bear outside my tent. Woke up and heard snoring outside my tent. That wasn't Eric. Went back to sleep, and then it was a dog that was outside my tent.
And we think it
woke
was
up again. We think maybe it was the coyote.
Maybe the coyote was napping out
maybe.
There? I don't know. I mean, it could
he
be.
He smelled Griffin. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now, sounds of Eric snoring.
Hey. Thanks. Thanks, Joe. That was not me.
Please. Oh, we had trail worms for the first time.
Yeah. Matt tried to make. You tried to. You did. You dehydrated spaghetti.
Yeah, I made spaghetti. I dehydrated it.
The rehydrating was.
It was fine for me and Joey, but you didn't enough water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too bad, because ours was delicious. I'm sad yours didn't turn out as good.
It was chewy. It was, what was your word for it? Toothsome?
Yeah.
It was definitely toothsome. I might have lost toothsome. A tooth in there somewhere.
We have eaten a lot on this trip.
You guys have eaten a lot. You guys have, like...
I can't stop eating, actually.
It's like camping with teenagers. I was unaware how much Oklahomans eat. It's like every time they sit down, they consume bags and bags of food, which is cool. My pack's going to be really light tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the goal.
So your bag was 28 pounds?
25.
25. And yours was 38?
38.
And mine was 31 on the way in. Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Nice little 5-mile walk. Walk, hike.
Wike. Yeah.
Today was great. I slept all day.
I did a lot of stuff. I made a sundial. I think another thing that we should record as being kind of, I'm really disappointed in the, 4 Sigma hot chocolate packets.
Yeah. Compared to their coffee.
Yeah. Their coffee's great. Right. But, so 4 Sigma is like they do like these mushroom blends where they mix mushrooms with coffee or mix it with hot cocoa. And the mushrooms are supposed to have like powers. You know, they give you like alertness and energy and awareness or calmness.
Reishi mushrooms, not psilocybin, not the good stuff.
Well, there were like lion's mane and
there's like
chaga, which always reminds me of that scene in Conan the Barbarian. You think I sell chaga to a slayer such as you?
There is a really good raw cacao and mushroom mix from Wild Foods, I think it is.
Yeah?
Get it on Amazon, but it's a fantastic drink mix.
Is it bigger? More chocolatey?
You just get packet, like a full pack. It's like 6 ounces to 2 pounds, I think.
Yeah, because I had a double dose of the 4 Sigma Hot Cocoa last night, because it's only 3.5 ounces of water. That's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
That is total bullshit. They should make it like...
Get your shit together, 4 Sigma.
Yeah, 4 Sigma. We want like a friggin' cup of hot chocolate. It kind of made me sad because, like, in the morning, having like a packet of Swiss Miss with one of those like Starbucks Vias in it.
Yeah, that's delightful.
So good. Or what's the coffee that we're supposed to talk about?
I don't even remember.
Oh no!
You're gonna have to cut
Alpine.
That.
Alpine. Cut Alpine. That out. Alpine Start.
Now the coffee though was delightful. Was that Alpine Start?
Oh
that
man,
that was amazing.
I mean, the best part of waking up is some instant Alpine Start in your camping mug. That stuff is pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot better than the Starbucks.
It is actually.
I
was surprised because I like. Probably gonna get in some trouble for saying this, but I actually like Starbucks.
I like Starbucks too.
They're a local coffee company.
I don't mind the Starbucks Vias. Like I honestly, I'd have to taste them side by side to tell the difference. I guess I remember the Vias as being a little bit more bitter. Like these are pretty smooth, mellow.
I will have to say, like those little smokies that you brought, I'm kind of disappointed in those because they're a little bit too dry. I like my little smokies to be super moist.
That's Landjager.
Also brought some fantastic
beef
jerky from Love's Country Store.
Oh god, it's like it's like freaking dehydrated cow beef curtains. They're awful. It's so awful. Are you sure you're not supposed to rehydrate that stuff?
So beef jerky's supposed to be dry.
So dry.
Dry and chewy.
Not good. Not good.
I might have some in a minute. Actually,
we should have some.
Oh, no.
People should hear.
Okay, you know what? We can review it. Since we didn't bring any beer, and since Joey didn't pick up any whiskey. Yeah. All right.
But,
oh,
damn.
Over 8 minutes. All right. We'll all have a little bit of this. We can talk about
it. Let me break some off for you guys.
Ugh. God, it rips and it looks like just sort of brown stuff with white connective tissue in between it. But it's about as thick as, like, the sort of tag board that, like, cat food boxes are made out of. Mm. Except it's harder. It's tougher.
It's like tree bark.
Delicious.
Nope.
Oh. Nope.
Nope.
It is a lot like tree bark. You bite into it, and it just sort of... Then it's like soggy tree bark that's covered in salt.
What's wrong with that?
It's like you're eating tree bark and someone in a distant room screams, beef!
I'm not completely convinced this came from a cow.
Oh, wait. I'm Joey.
Hey, that rock that...
Lay it on its side.
Squish it into the dirt.
For a little while again.
Your Karen bench.
It's like some of the biggest meditating benches.
So, Joey, if you're enlightened, shouldn't you know everything there is to know about building a chair in the wilderness?
I do, what? I might have to deal with the devil one time so I could do this type of thing. And so I could always find Love Country Store beef jerky, no matter what state I'm in.
So Love's is really from Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Watonga, Oklahoma. Founded in 1968 by a couple.
Mr. and Mrs. Love?
I forget what their last name is, but they're still alive. And she was named one of the first, I think she's one of the first women on the Fortune 500.
Hmm.
But I think she's still the wife. Is still on the board? Ah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's... I think their kids are on it. They live in Oklahoma City, near their corporate office in Nichols Hills.
Ugh, God, that stuff is so awful. I'm really looking forward to having some water now.
All I'm looking for is a sponsorship from Love Country Store for their beef jerky.
I am too. Not for the beef jerky. Yeah, anytime I go to Portland, I stop at the Loves in Napa Vine. Just for a little taste of Oklahoma. You get a horrible jerky, good jerky, and t-shirts with wolves howling at the moon.
Oh, this you can get bedazzled leather purses.
Yeah.
Tons of rhinestones.
You with get, wolves like, howling the, at the moon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or you can get the... big broad sunglasses covered in rhinestones. Man, it's like Rhinestone Central in there.
Get a new CB.
Oh, man. Muscle shirts. So many muscle shirts.
Cowboy hats.
Because your arms are prone to getting hot while driving a truck.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. You got to get a muscle shirt. I mean, I wish I had more muscle shirts. I feel like I've seen you in a muscle shirt, Matt.
You have never seen me
like
in a muscle shirt.
I feel like there's a picture on the internet of Matt Anthony in a muscle shirt.
The only, you may be thinking of when I have work done on my sleeve. I cut the sleeve off of just one side so it could never be confused as a muscle shirt.
It's a half muscle shirt.
Yeah, I only wear it when I get tattooed.
A demi muscle, yeah. We call it.
Yeah. Because I don't want it to ever be. Yeah. No. I've never owned a muscle shirt.
I'm thinking about wearing tank tops. I feel like my shoulder hair has reached an age of maturation that it's just like. Should be shared with the world.
It's if you need to oil yourself up before you go out in public.
Joey can't
you need
move.
A good sheen on the back there before you go out.
Can you put some of my beard oil on that shoulder hair?
Oh, this fire looks great. Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
Are you sad the fire's lit and it's still daylight out?
A little bit.
One of the surprises for me this weekend was learning that Matt was really good at making fires. Because it just doesn't seem like much of an Oklahoma skill. I figure maybe you guys maybe learned it in Boy Scouts or something, but...
No?
I mean, you did a good job. Barely even used any paper.
Yeah. Did better than I would. It's kind of nice. I love... That is a huge difference. In most places in Oregon, you don't get to have a campfire. So it's really nice.
A lot
really
of places
nice.
Oh, really? Like, if we had gone into the mountains here, you wouldn't be able to do a campfire.
Yeah.
But... Or if we came here like a month from now, we'd probably be able to do a fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess anybody who's paid attention to the news knows about the raging, horrific wildfires that have been plaguing the West Coast. Because Oregon had some super bad ones last year. And they were totally overshadowed by that one down in like Santa Barbara in California or whatever.
It's still not out. The Eagle Creek fire?
Really?
It's contained, but it's not out. There was a
Eagle
flare
Creek
up.
Fire?
There was another flare up 2 weeks ago.
That's the one that's by Portland. And it was started by like a couple of asshole high school kids throwing smoke bombs in the hottest, driest part of summer last year.
And one of the teenagers was convicted and has to pay like $30 million, I think.
Good. God. I mean, I guess I have mixed feelings about it, right? Like, teenagers are idiots. We were all teenagers. I've heard lots of Joey's stories, so I know he can sympathize with this a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, like, when you cause that much damage, that's just... Fuck. When you cause that much damage, though, it's kind of ridiculous. It's, I mean, there should be reparations of some sort.
Something, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be happy with a lifetime of community service.
Yeah, I don't think saddling a teenager with millions of dollars in debt.
It's not gonna help anybody.
It's just gonna make it worse.
Yeah, but I mean, if he had
to like report for community service or whatever.
Forever.
At least until he's 30.
Yeah.
Even if there's something like he's not allowed to camp unattended or enter wilderness areas or hike or whatever unattended, you know, for a number of years, or he has to attend like wilderness safety. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that can be done about that.
Yeah. They just had to do something big because there are a lot of people super pissed off.
He also caused a lot of property damage.
Yeah.
And that's something like how do you fix that? Yeah. I don't know. That's a hard one. My angry reaction is punish him, but when I really think about it, it's like he's probably learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Punishing isn't going to help. Reparations, you know, reparations that'll ruin his life. I don't know if that is...
Retributive justice never really solves anything.
I know. So...
You should have just tried him in front of the femme grip.
Oh. Trial by sorcery. If you are guilty of starting this fire, then this water will turn to blood. So tomorrow is the feast of St. John the Baptist.
Yes.
What are we going to do? How are we going to celebrate?
Psilocybin.
We're gonna do an impromptu. No, I can't say that because it wouldn't. No.
Yeah. Just. We're gonna feast.
Yeah.
Where are we gonna have it?
Tomorrow night we're gonna hike out to Third Beach in La Push, which again is on the Olympic Peninsula.
I feel like that's an instruction that French midwives get.
La push!
La push! La push! Okay.
We're gonna camp on the beach tomorrow night there.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if we can have a campfire there.
We can.
We should totally, like, roast some hot dogs on pointy sticks.
And marshmallows.
Like, yeah, marshmallows. That'd be fun.
And some locusts in honor of.
Yeah, maybe we can get some locusts and honey. Yeah. Some honey-covered locusts.
Are we gonna hike a case of beer out there?
Not a
case.
Oh, come on, it'll be fine.
No, we're going to get real beer. We're not going to get, like, beer that you piss in.
I don't drink that beer.
We should get a case of Rainier.
Well, I was thinking we could get some beer and we could get some box wine, because box wine's good bang for your buck.
Yeah.
After we drink some really good beer, then we can have box
thinking
wine.
Thinking about pound, how much it weighs, and quality. It's a good
yeah.
call.
So you have to, what is this would be?
I'll carry a 6-pack for myself. How about that?
Alcohol by volume per pound, ABV, yeah. Foot pounds of ABV.
Yes.
Squared.
But you also have to carry the beer canister in.
If we carry a...
Oh, right. We have to do beer canisters there.
If we each carry a 6-pack, it'll be plenty.
Do you think maybe if we see a bear, he'll, like, come and hang out on the beach with us and drink some beer?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
I doubt it.
I hear bears aren't into hazy IPAs, though.
No, but they like the new Brut IPAs quite a bit.
Yeah.
They're really into those.
How about the classic IPA?
Well, I think that's kind of why bear attacks have been on the uptake, is because of classic IPAs, and bears just really like them, and they're just going to do everything they can.
My question is, if classic IPAs come back, what are you going to do with pale ales? Because in my opinion, pale ales today are really just classic IPAs.
Well, I mean, the original pale ale was the Sierra Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider that a classic IPA?
I wouldn't consider that the original. When I think of, like, a classic pale ale, I think of, like, Bass.
Wasn't Sierra Nevada the first one to use the term pale ale?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, pale ale is really old. Like, Sam Smith's in England had a pale ale for centuries.
Cool. I guess I was misinformed. So then Sierra Nevada pale ale would be more like your idea of a classic IPA? It's like a single hop cascade.
It was kind of the beginning of that.
Yeah.
That push towards over, I should say, amping up the amount of hops and stuff. It was a more hop forward pale ale.
Yeah. So what do you think the big difference between a pale ale and an IPA is?
Traditionally it was, well, it still is, the amount of hops used.
Okay.
I mean, the grain bill's a little bit different too.
Yeah. In what way?
Sorry, I'm getting distracted.
Hey, you think they have whiskey over there? Maybe I can trade some of my beef jerky for their whiskey.
I don't think they're going to look at this stuff and think it's beef jerky.
How about some of your smokies?
Keep away from my Landjaegers.
Still upset that you made me leave that baby food.
Joey, your pack was already the heaviest.
What's an extra, like, 3 ounces?
And glass.
Yeah.
You don't bring glass when you go backpacking.
I think I got a sunburn.
I like to push the envelope.
I got a sunburn. Ow. Oh! Shit.
I sure did on my pasty white legs.
Ugh.
Fell asleep with half my body on the tent because I was trying to get a tan on my legs and passed out for like an hour. Not good.
We just call that a super tan. I'm surprised that the sunlight can get through your leg hair.
I usually have a hard time. Really hard time. Finally get a tan on those things by the end of summer.
Yeah, usually works out for me that way. It's usually August before my leg is actually tan.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing a lot of golf, though, over the course of the next couple of months, so I'm sorry. It's going to get it.
Oof. I kind of enjoy golf.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I like the being outside and drinking beer part.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I usually like the first 5 holes.
Yeah, it gets boring. Yeah. Like, it's a long
I like the first
long
3
game.
Holes.
I kind of feel like that's supposed to be a joke. I'm going to pretend that I don't get it.
Talking about sex.
Coitus.
Coitus.
Gross.
This wood smells so good.
I know. That's totally not a sex joke. Yeah, bad timing there, Matt.
I don't know. We are on Ho River.
We are on Ho River.
Where are all the hoes at?
I think it's us.
I had a nice little show this morning, though. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Some wildlife.
Do you want to tell the audience?
There was some human wildlife this morning when we first woke up. Some attractive ladies out backpacking, and they decided to change next to our campsite, completely naked. It was a little bit unbelievable.
They must have seen my hat. That's all I can think of. They must have just seen my hat and been like...
It's okay. I mean, in my book, that beat the deer sighting.
Yeah. I mean, the buck that was not afraid of people.
Trying to get into our food bags.
Yeah. That was weird. I don't think that the deer up here are the same species that we have in Oregon. I'm not totally sure. Like, I know that there are...
The blacktail here.
Yeah, and I think we have black... Because I think we have blacktail and mule deer in Oregon. And maybe whitetail. Are there whitetail here?
I would have to think. I don't know. Most of us see here are blacktail, but there may be.
Okay.
I'm shocked. Seriously shocked I haven't seen any elk, because I always see elk.
And there's lots of elk shit. But we also saw a ton of deer poop when we crossed over and explored the island.
It's really cool when you see them here, because you hear them before you see them.
Does it crash?
Oh, no. It's just the ground. You hear it. It's just a rumble.
Whoa.
When they're coming through.
My grandparents lived south of here on the coast, South Bend, I think it is, near there, but they were like on the coast. And they had a big acreage there, and every morning elk would come graze on their back in their backyard. So you could like see these massive herds of elk, and then the ocean behind it.
Oh, that sounds cool.
An amazing place. Geodesic dome home that they built themselves.
Oh yeah, you showed me the satellite photo.
That place
cool.
Was magical. When I would visit, their German Shepherd would wake me up every morning at like, I don't know, 7, leash in his mouth. So I'd put the leash on him, take him outside, and he would like reach back, put the leash in his mouth, and take me for a walk.
Look at the moon.
Oh, wow. It's always getting...
Joey got a little excited there.
What planet is that?
I can't see where. All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
Okay.
Let's go look at stars.
My Alchemical Bromance is sponsored by Miskatonic Books. Miskatonic Books is an online bookstore that focuses on rare, limited edition, and custom-made books of the highest quality. They specialize in books on the occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, and other topics of interest to you, our listeners. Check them out on the web at miskatonicbooks.com. Okay, it's me, Eric. I'm back. So our plans changed yesterday after the Ho River as we were coming down. First of all, Joey and I were pretty wiped out. It was really tough to keep up with Matt. He's a very fast hiker. A robin just flew into our campsite and I'm watching him. Anyhow, so we deliberated a while. We had a burger and some beers and decided that instead of going to Third Beach, which was our original plan, we would go to this private campground that's owned by some friends of Matt and Amy's. And it ended up being a pretty good decision because it poured rain like crazy. You can probably still hear it a little bit in the background. So this private campground, it had a lean-to with a picnic table and a fire pit. So we got some camping chairs and some hot dogs, and we... made a big fire and kind of hung out. When the rain let up, we sat around the fire. It was a really pleasant evening. It was so incredibly wet, though, that I feared for my
$30 tent's life, I don't think that my $30 tent is waterproof. So I laid out a tarp and my sleeping mat and my sleeping bag, and I slept on the ground under the lean-to with pretty much all of my clothes on. Oh, and I just saw the robin eat a worm. That's so stereotypical, isn't it? A robin eating a worm. I really just saw that happen. Well, that's cool. So so here I am. I'm drinking some Four Sigma mushroom coffee. I woke up before everybody else. It was not a comfortable sleep. Sleeping on the ground like that isn't super awesome. And sleeping with all your clothes on, it wrapped up in a sleeping bag, is a weird experience. It's warm. It reminds me of a story that I heard about George Washington, or read about George Washington when I was a kid, where he ended up having to sleep with all of his clothes on while he was a surveyor. I don't know if it's a real story or not, but it sounded plausible. But since we didn't get to go to the beach, I didn't get to read, or I didn't get to recite the Orphic hymn to Proteus, so I thought I would read it for you guys. Proteus I call, whom fate decrees to keep the keys which lock the chambers of the deep, firstborn, by whose illustrious power alone all nature's principles are clearly shown. Matter to change with various forms is thine, matter unformed, capacious, and divine. All honored, prudent, whose sagacious mind knows all that was and is of every kind. With all that shall be in succeeding time, so vast thy wisdom, wondrous and sublime. For all things nature first to thee consigned, and in thy essence omniform confined. Come, blessed Father, to our rites attend, and grant our happy lives a prosperous end. Proteus is fascinating to me. Like, he's either the eldest brother of Uranos or the first child of Uranos, and thus the eldest brother of Kronos. I don't remember which. I can look it up on Wikipedia or something later, and so can you. But he's a sea god. He's a sea god that's sort of like pre-Greek. So in Greek mythology, you sort of have the big three sea gods, which would be Poseidon, Oceanos, and Proteus. But Proteus doesn't have a whole lot of extant mythology about him. So we have like the Orphic hymn, we have some other stuff. So there isn't a whole lot of mythology about who he is and what he is. But when you read the Orphic hymn and you sort of get a sense of what's going on in it, it almost feels like this pre-Socratic look into like typos and how the forms are created, what bosses the forms around. And Proteus feels like the boss or the creator and manager of forms and the changing shapes of matter and things. And Proteus himself is said to be a shape changer or something without an actual form even. And I think that's all really fascinating. So I have this tradition of invoking Proteus when I'm at the sea alone, which doesn't happen often enough. So there you go. I've shared that with you. I do want to say that the Four Sigma mushroom coffee blend is delicious. Ryan Peverly from the Occulture podcast turned me on to it, and I enjoy it a great deal. So I hope that you guys are all having a great time out there. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to My Alchemical Bromance. You can find us on the web at myalchemicalbromance.com. You can find us on every podcast thing you can imagine. Look us up. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars. Give us 1 star. Tell people what you think. Share this episode. Enjoy everything, and come back next time. I'm not going to be able to do that.